praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercies. We thank you for your power that is always available and accessible to us at all times. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your presence in our lives and situations. We thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful things your mighty hand has performed in our lives. Thank you for blessing us with spiritual blessings and physical blessings. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for giving us breakthroughs and victories. Thank you, Lord. Always meeting at the point of our needs. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for your covenant of faithfulness you have established with us in this ministry. Whenever we call upon you, you always hear us. You always answer. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, because you are already here even before we join this meeting. You're already here. You have been here waiting for us. We thank you for great things you're going to do in our lives this morning. We thank you because you're going to touch everyone, bless everyone, help everyone, heal everyone, empower everyone, revive everyone. You're going to transform every life here, and you're going to deliver your people. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you have your way in our midst as we pray, as we lean at your feet. Have your way in our midst. Lead us through this session. Thank you, Lord, for we know you're going to do beyond our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to look at Isaiah 53. I know some of you are familiar with that passage of the Bible. the book of Isaiah 53. I'm going to read from verse 1. Isaiah 53. I will read from verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Verse 4, Isaiah 53, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be speaking much from this passage. We'll be looking deep into this passage in Isaiah 53. And after that, we are going to pray. Now, I know that many people are only used to verse 5 of Isaiah 53. Many people, they only read this verse 5, or maybe I should say, they only love what is written here in verse 5 of Isaiah 53. They don't really take time to read from verse 1. They don't really take time to look at it from verse 1. Let me read for you from New Living Translation. Isaiah 53. I read, who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected. A man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. Verse 4, yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Praise the Lord. Isaiah was given prophetic details about the sufferings and afflictions and death of Jesus Christ in this passage. And he showed us how he was going to suffer. He showed us how he was going to die. So we saw in this scripture that Jesus was carrying upon himself the sins of the world. And the people despised him still. He was going through pains because of the sins of the world. Even before he was crucified, he had been a man of sorrow. Even before he was nailed to the cross, he has always been full of sorrow because of the level of sinfulness that is going on in the world at that time, especially in the nation Israel. He was going all about showing the people the way of salvation, the way to the kingdom of God, showing the people the need for them to turn away from their sinful ways and self-righteousness. But they ignored him. Though some believed, some did not believe. Even the religious leaders at that time, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were all against him. And many of them were against him. They were attacking him. They were looking for faults in his life, through which they can accuse him and have him crucified. But even while they were thinking all those negative thoughts, Jesus was still so concerned about them. He actually came because of us, because of you and I. He didn't come into this world because of himself. He came because of us. And yet, we despised him. We rejected him. Yeah. Despite the fact that he was all about saving us, he was all about bringing us out of darkness into the light, yet we despised him, we rejected him. So he became a man of sorrow because he wanted to save us, but we did not allow him to save us. He wanted to help us, and we did not allow him help us. So he became a man of sorrow, a man of deepest grief, full of very deep grief. You know how parents would mourn for their for a child they lost, maybe they lost a child. You know how parents would mourn for the death of their child. That was how Jesus was mourning for this generation when he came into this world. He was mourning because he knows what the end of mankind will be. He knows where we are heading to. He knows what is going to happen to us eventually if we don't receive the light he brought. So every time he look at the people, he would be sad and sorrowful, especially those ones who have rejected him. So now, before we celebrate the death of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, before we celebrate the power that is in his blood, before we celebrate the stripes he got because of us, before we celebrate his resurrection from the dead, we need to first of all think about what led to his death. Now, why he had to die. Yeah, we need to really think about that because that will teach us wisdom on how to really benefit from his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. If we fail to understand why he went through all of that, why he had to die such a shameful death, why he had to carry a lot of sorrows upon himself, why he had to live a life full of sorrow, a life full of grief, Yeah, we need to first of all consider why Jesus had to go through all that he went through before the final sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Yeah, we need to really consider what led to that sacrifice. Yeah, if we look at these things, I mean, the things that Jesus went through before he was crucified, if we look deeply at those things, we would all we will learn wisdom. And that wisdom will help us to really get the best out of the sacrifice he did on the cross of Calvary. Now, what can we learn from the life of Christ before he was crucified on the cross of Calvary? What are the things we should learn from the kind of life he lived? Now, number one, if you look at Isaiah 53, verse 2, it says, my servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. Yeah. Here, we can learn the humble beginning of Jesus. He was such a person who chose to grow among us in a very humble way. He chose to grow among human beings with the highest humility ever. It says there was nothing majestic about him. He decided to choose such a humble beginning. Yeah, so his humility started from the day he was born. Yeah, if you look at the scriptures, he was born in a manger. His humility started from the day he was born into the world. And he was born into a poor family. Yeah, Joseph was a carpenter. We don't really know the occupation of Mary. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, he was born in a very poor town or poor environment called Nazareth. Yeah, so he intentionally chose a very humble background to grow up from. Yeah. He chose to justify the fact that he was God. Yeah. But yet he humbled himself. So if we want to benefit from the sacrifice of Jesus, from the sacrifice that he did on the cross of Calvary, we must also follow the path of humility. We must embrace humility. We must live an humble life. And then, verse 3, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrow, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yeah. The second thing we need to see or learn from the life of Jesus is the fact that he loved us even while we were his enemies. He loved us so much even while we hated him. He loved the world so much that he did not consider the sins they were committing at that time. And even the sins he knows that people will still commit. Yeah, he knows that what he was going to do is to save the world from sin. And at that time when he was walking as a human being like you and I in the land of Israel, people were still sinning. In fact, they rejected him. They despised him. But yet, that love he has in his heart did not make him consider what the people were doing against him and against his gospel. Against his message. He was still full of love for them. He was full of love for the world. What can we learn from this? We also must be full of love for God and for others. Yeah, Jesus loved the Father so much that he was willing to do the will of the Father, even if he had to die fulfilling the will of the Father. You remember that verse where he was praying to God. He was telling God that if God would take away the cup from him. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So he was such a person who loved God so much, and he loved the people. And because of that love, he chose not to consider how wicked the world is. He chose to endure the suffering. He chose to obey God to the point of death. Now let's look at Philippians chapter 2. You're going to see more emphasis on what Jesus did. I'm going to read from verse 5, Philippians chapter 2, from verse 5. Let this mind be in you. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So Jesus had a choice. He was the one that chose everything. He chose how he was going to be born. He chose the family that would give birth to him. He chose the community, the environment, the town, the hometown he was going to grow up from. He chose everything. So he could have chosen otherwise. Yeah, here it says he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That was the kind of life Jesus lived. He loved God and obeyed God unto death. And not only that, he loved the people that he was going to save from their sins through his death. So if we want to benefit from the sacrifice of Jesus, we must be people who love God so much. People who no longer care about themselves, but care only about God. So we should not live like those people who were alive during the earthly days of Jesus. We shouldn't live like those people who mocked him, scorned him, attacked him, despised him, rejected him. Yeah, we should not be like those people. We should obey his commandments. We should love him we should please Him, and we should love other people. So don't condemn sinners. Just as He did not condemn sinners, He went ahead to die for them so that they can come to repentance and be saved. In the same way, you should not condemn sinners. Because if He had condemned you, how will you be saved? How will you be saved from your sins? So we should not condemn sinners. We should love sinners and pray that they will come to repentance and pray that Jesus will save their souls. We should love sinners and preach the gospel to them. We should not condemn sinners and be praying that they die. No, we should not pray that sinners should die. We should not pray that thundering and fire should fall from the sky and destroy them. But we should care for their souls just as Jesus cared for our souls and didn't consider what the people in those days were doing against Him. He still went ahead to lay down His life for them. Yeah, so we should do the same. We should be full of love, just as He was full of love. We should be full of love. And if we love God, just as He loved God, we will not sin against God, just as He did not sin. He was blameless. He was blameless. And if He loved the people, including His enemies, then we should also love our enemies and pray for them and preach to them. So this is how the sacrifice of Jesus will produce results in our lives. And not only that, verse 4, Isaiah 53, verse 4, yet it was our weaknesses He carried. I'm reading from New Living Translation. It was our sorrows that weighed Him down, and we thought His troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for His own sins. So it was our weaknesses He carried. Praise the Lord. It was our weaknesses He carried. It was our weaknesses He carried. So if we want to benefit from the sacrifice Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, we also need to carry the weaknesses of others. We need to carry the weaknesses of others. We need to be intercessors if we want to benefit from the blood that Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary if we want to benefit from his resurrection. We need to carry the weaknesses of others. We need to carry the sorrows of others. How do you carry the weaknesses of others? By going after those who are weak to strengthen them, by praying for those who are weak that God will strengthen them. How do we carry the sorrows of others? By making their problems our problems. By praying that God will save them. That God will save their souls. That God will deliver them. That is how to bear the pains of others. To bear the weaknesses, the sorrows of others. So don't be a self-centered Christian. Consider those who are weak. Consider those who are in need. Some people, what they have is financial weakness. Financial weakness. And God expects those of us that have the ability to help them, He expects us to help them. So we should not be self-centered Christians. We should get busy in strengthening the weak. We should get busy in encouraging the discouraged. We should get busy in praying for our enemies. We should get busy in praying for the sick. Praying for those that are in bondage. That God will deliver them. Yeah, so don't think about yourself alone. I have found myself in some situations, and while I was praying for myself to come out of those negative situations, nothing happened. I didn't see myself come out. I didn't get any deliverance. I didn't get any healing. But it was when I stopped thinking about myself and I started thinking about others that are sick, others that are in problem, others that are in bondage of sin, bondage of darkness, and I began to pray for them that God will that God should heal them, set them free, save them, deliver them. That was when I also got my own breakthroughs and deliverance and victory. Yeah. It was when I began to pray for others. It was when I began to pray for others, for others that need deliverance, healing, breakthroughs, helps from God. That was when I got my own help from God. So if you are a self-centered Christian, I don't really care about what others are going through. You don't care about God saving others, helping others, setting others free. But you're only thinking about yourself, yourself, yourself. You will not really gain much from the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. You will not really benefit much from what Jesus did on the cross. Because that sacrifice on the cross was selfless. It was a selfless sacrifice. So selfish people should not think they will benefit from a selfless sacrifice. Self-centered people should not think they will benefit from a selfless sacrifice. I repeat, self-centered people, self-centered Christians should not think that they will benefit from a selfless sacrifice Jesus offered on the cross of Calvary. So just as he did not think about himself, there was no record of Jesus caring so much for himself. There was no record in history and in the Bible. He was all out for others. He poured out his soul as an offering. Yeah, he poured out his life as an offering unto death to see others come to salvation and deliverance. In the same way, Christians must pour out their life as an offering unto death for others. We must lay down our lives for others to come to the light, for others to find strength, for others to find joy, because he carried our sorrows so that we can have joy. He carried our weaknesses so that we can be strong. We must also live that type of life. Yeah. Some people, they can shout blood of Jesus. They can shout it a lot. They know how to shout blood of Jesus. They can shout blood of Jesus 50 times. Every time they are praying, they'll keep shouting blood of Jesus. Help me, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus. But the blood of Jesus is not doing anything in their lives. The reason is because they are not living worthy of that blood. Yeah, the blood of Jesus doesn't just work if we don't live the kind of life the person who shed that blood lived. Yeah. So we, that is how it will work. We have to live the life. The owner of the blood, we have to live the life he lived. Yeah, we have to repent where necessary. Because there was no sin in his life. So we must turn away from sin. There was no sin in the life of Jesus. So we must turn away from sin for the blood of Jesus to work. For the power of in his resurrection to work in our lives. And so we must really live the life he lived to benefit from the sacrifice he did for us. Now, let us continue. We are reading, for those of you that just joined, we are reading Isaiah 53. We are reading from Isaiah 53. And now I'm reading from verse 5. I mean, I'm now at verse 5. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. I'm reading from New Living Translation. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. He was whipped with a whip. In those days, the Roman soldiers, they used to lace their whip with blades. So which means in between the rope, they used to whip Jesus. There were blades in between. So it was not just ordinary whip. So for every stripe Jesus took on himself, it was giving him wounds. So he got fresh wounds. For every stripe he took on himself. So, when they give him the first, once he gets the first one, the blades would enter into his skin and then they would pull it off. Then they'll give him the second whip, and then the third. So he got 39 whip, 39 stripes. Yeah. So what can we learn from here? We need to learn to honor, to respect this humble acts of Jesus. We need to honor what he did. We need to respect what he did. How do we do that? By not misusing the grace of God. by not abusing the grace of God, by not intentionally sinning against God. So we need to have respect to the beating Jesus took for us. The beating he took for us, the whip he took, and those wounds that followed. And of course, we need to also respect the nails he took for us, because he was nailed to the cross. We need to respect and honor those wounds. We need to not take them for granted. And what do we do to show that we respect those wounds? We must stop sinning deliberately. Yeah. So once you have repented from a particular sin God corrected you, or you saw in the scriptures, or the Holy Ghost convicted you and reproved you that this is wrong, once you repent from that, you should not go back again into that sin. So as a Christian, everything you repent of, or you turn away from, you should not go back. You should not repeat the same sin. Christians don't repeat the same sins God corrected them of. Christians don't repeat the same sins God told them to stop committing. So once you repent, you don't go back. That is how we show that we honor and respect the beatings Jesus took for us. That is how to show that we honor and respect those wounds he took for us. And then that we honor and respect that he gave up the ghost for us. That's how to show, by not abusing the grace of God. So you are abusing the grace of God when you know that something is a sin and you still went ahead to do it. You are abusing this sacrifice. And the penalty for abusing it is that it will not work anymore in your life. That's the penalty for abusing the sacrifice Jesus did on the cross, and all these beatings and stripes he took for you and I. The penalty, the punishment for abusing the sacrifice is that the benefit of the sacrifice will not come into your life. The punishment is that you'll be cut off from the flow of the benefit that comes from the cross of Jesus. That's the punishment. So we must respect what he went through to save us from our sins. We must respect it. In fact, the Bible says that those who are deliberately sinning against God after they have known the truth, the Bible says that there is no more sacrifice for their sins. So which means There is no forgiveness for their sins. And if there is no forgiveness for your sins, then there is no healing for you. There is no deliverance for you. Yeah, because all of it comes from that sacrifice. Healing, deliverance, breakthroughs, including prosperity. They all come from the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Yeah. And if we now begin to deliberately sin against God, if we begin to abuse that sacrifice and misuse that grace, then it means that it will no longer work in our lives. And that is why some of you keep fasting and you are seeing no results. You keep praying and you are seeing no results. You keep giving, sowing seeds, and you are seeing no results. The reason is because you are abusing the grace of God by repeating the same sins. Yeah, the same thing. God said, this is wrong. Stop. And then you say, God, I'm stopping. I'm not doing it again. And then you still went back to do the same. That is abuse of God's grace. Abuse of God's grace. And it comes with a very terrible penalty. The penalty is that all the benefits in the cross of Jesus will no longer work in your life, including healing, divine healing. Yeah, so we really need to fear God, because many people think that Jesus deserved to die on the cross of Calvary. He deserved to die on the cross of Calvary as a criminal. They feel like, he loved me so much. That's why he had to die for my sins. Yes, of course, he loves you. But he don't have to die. It was extreme humility, extreme selflessness. Yeah, that took him to the cross. So it's not something that should happen. I don't know if you are getting my point. He doesn't have to die. Or maybe I should use the word, he doesn't deserve to die. Yeah, of course, the Bible already says that he has to die, because this Isaiah 53 is a prophecy. And it was already prophesied in this scripture that he have to die. But that doesn't mean he deserves to die. I don't know if you're getting my point. Yeah, though he have to die, but he does not deserve to die. Yeah, because it was wrong for him to die, according to the law, because he had no sin. So death is for those who are guilty of sin. I don't know if you're getting my point. Death is for those who are guilty of violating God's law. But Jesus violated no law. He had no sin. He was blameless. So he doesn't deserve to die. So stop thinking that. So we need to respect that sacrifice. That's my point. Not that, God sent him into the world to die for my sins. He loved me so much. That's why he died for my sins. That's why he died for my sins. Yes, he loved you. That's why he died. But don't take it for granted. Because he doesn't deserve to die. Yeah, so we saw that extreme love is the highest point of love to do that. Yeah, we saw that extreme love because he gave us what we do not deserve. We do not deserve that he should die for our sins. We don't deserve it. So that is why we need to respect it. I don't know if I'm getting my point. Don't just take it for granted like, he loved me, so he died for me. If you can think deep that this is not what should happen, this wasn't supposed to happen to him, I don't deserve what he did for me, then you will appreciate that sacrifice more than if you feel like you deserve that he should do that for you. No, you don't. We don't deserve such sacrifice from him. We don't. But it has to happen. Yeah, if he wants to save us, he has to do that. But that doesn't mean we deserve it. Yeah, so you must always have it in mind that you don't deserve what he did, because it was wrong. Even according to God's law, it was wrong that he should do that. Completely wrong. Yeah, that was why him telling God to take away that cup. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, that was why he was bold to say, God, if you can take away this cup from me, I would prefer not to die this shameful death. Him making that demand was right, because according to the law, he doesn't deserve to die. Yeah, but yet he accepted such destiny to lay down his life. Then why do we abuse that sacrifice? Yeah, why do we abuse God's grace and yet still ask his blood to heal us, ask his blood to deliver us? Never. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. So we need to fear God. We're going to stop here. The summary of my teaching is that you need to see into the details of what led to the death of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Take time to think deep about how he got to that cross before you open your mouth. and say, let the stripes of Jesus, with his stripes I am healed. Let his blood wash away my sin. Let his blood heal me. Before you pray those prayers, before you confess such confessions, have you thought of how he ended up on the cross? The kind of life he lived, the struggles he endured. Have you also thought of how he doesn't even deserve such criminal debt? Yeah. So this is how to benefit from Jesus' sacrifice. Yeah, I have told you how to benefit from his sacrifice. So it is left for you to obey. We are going to pray now. I'm going to give you some prayer points to pray, then I'll be praying for you and pray on your water. Firstly, you're going to pray. I showed you from this same chapter the humility of Jesus. He was humble from birth. You're going to pray. You're going to say, Father, forgive my sins of pride. You're going to say, Father, forgive my sins of pride. And give me an humble heart. Say, Father, forgive my sins of pride. Give me an humble heart. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Say, Father, forgive my sins of pride. Give me an humble heart. I want the same mind that is in Christ Jesus. Say, Father, give me the same mind that is in Christ Jesus. The same humble mind that is in Christ Jesus. The same mind to make myself of no reputation. The same mind to give myself no reputation. The same mind that does not boast. Father, give me such mind. Create in me such mind. Forgive my sins of pride. Deliver me from pride. Give me the same mind that is in Jesus. The same humble heart that is in Jesus. Father, give me such mind. He was the greatest, even as he is the greatest, but he reduced himself to nothing. Lord, give me that kind of mind, that I will not be puffed up because of whatever I have or whatever I am, or because of my appearance, or because of whatever achievements I have or qualifications I have, that I will not be puffed up because of anything, that I will not be high-minded. Lord, give me the humble heart that is in Jesus, that I will not consider myself to be something, but that I reduce myself to nothing, even as Jesus did. Give me that mind that is in Christ Jesus. I hope you are praying like that. For that is the only way to benefit from the sacrifice of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. We have three more prayer points. You're going to pray. We saw from that same scripture in Isaiah 53 that he was obedient because he was God's servant. He was obedient to death. We have Christians that they cannot do what is not convenient for them. When the will of God is not convenient for them, they don't want to do it. They only want to do those will of God that is convenient, that is comfortable to them. You're going to say, Father, give me a heart that obeys you when it is not convenient. Say, Father, give me a heart that obeys you even when it is not convenient. Even when it is not comfortable, say, Father, give me such heart of obedience. Pray like that. Give me an obedient heart that obeys you even when it is not convenient, that obeys you even when it is painful doing your will, even when it is uncomfortable doing your will. Lord, give me such heart that is willing to obey you to the point of death. Give me such heart that is willing to obey you to the point of pains, sufferings. Give me such heart that is willing to obey you to the point of rejection, being rejected by others, being despised by others, to the point of persecution, being persecuted by others. Give me an obedient heart that is willing to obey you in all circumstances, in season and out of season, both when it is convenient and when it is not. Give me such an obedient heart. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. You're going to pray. You're going to say, Father, make me a selfless Christian. Make me a Christian that considers others. Make me a Christian that is willing to sacrifice for others. Make me a selfless Christian. Not a self-centered Christian. Open your mouth and pray like that. Pray like that. Say, oh Lord, make me a selfless Christian. Make me a Christian that wants to bear the weaknesses of others. That wants to carry the sorrows of others. Make me a Christian that wants to carry the pains of others. Make me a Christian that wants to help others, support others. Make me a selfless Christian. Give me a selfless heart. Make me a Christian that prays for my enemies so that they can repent and be saved. Make me a Christian that loves my enemies. Father, make me a Christian that prays for those who are in troubles, those who are in problems. Make me a Christian that fasts and pray for them to be delivered and set free, for them to have breakthroughs and testimonies. Make me such a Christian. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. And then the last prayer point. You're going to pray. You're going to say, Father, help me to live my life in fear of you and in honor of you, so that I can benefit from the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Say, Father, help me to live all my life in fear of you and in honor of you. Do not allow me abuse your grace. Do not allow me abuse the sacrifice of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray like that. Say, Father, help me to live all my life on earth in fear of you, in honor of you, in fear of Jesus, in honor of Jesus. Help me to not misuse the grace of Jesus. Help me to not abuse the grace of Jesus. Help me to stop sinning deliberately against you. Say, Father, help me. So that all that Jesus did on the cross can produce great results in my life. So that the resurrection of Jesus from the grave can produce great results in my life. Say, Father, help me to live all my life in honor of Jesus, in fear of Jesus, in respect of all that Jesus did for me. Help me to stop insulting His grace, abusing His grace, help me, Father. I want to enjoy the benefits of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be praying for you now. And I believe you have your water with you. I'll be praying on the water as well. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for loving the world so much that you gave the world Jesus. And we were part of those you gave Jesus. Thank you for giving us Jesus. Because through what he did, we are who we are today. Through what he did, we can now boldly say we are children of God, sons of the Most High God. Thank you, Lord, for showing us this love. Thank you for showing the world such great love. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for counting us worthy among those who heard the gospel and responded correctly. For there are many out there who had the same gospel we heard, but up to now they did not repent and they did not surrender their lives to Jesus. But we were not like them. You helped us to repent when we had this gospel. And you helped us to surrender all our lives to Jesus. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, we thank you for showing us this truth of how to benefit from Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. I ask that you help everyone here to live the kind of life that can reap great benefit from the death and resurrection of Jesus, from the pain, sufferings of Jesus, from the wounds and stripes of Jesus. Oh Lord, help everyone here to live such a life that can reap such great benefits. Help everyone now in Jesus' name. I ask, oh Lord, that those that are weak in this place receive strength right now. I ask that you release strength into everyone that is weak here, whether they are weak in their bodies, or weak in their souls, or weak in their spirits. Father, according to your great mercies, release your strength into them all right now in Jesus' name. I pray for you that concerning those areas you are struggling. concerning those areas you have been struggling to move forward, struggling to rise, struggling to overcome sin, to overcome darkness, to overcome Satan, to overcome poverty. I pray that by the mercy of God, the power and the strength of Jesus shall support you in the name of Jesus. By the mercies of God, in those areas you have been struggling because you are so weak and you can't overcome, the power of Jesus shall appear in those areas. The power of Jesus shall make you overcome. The power of Jesus shall make you prevail. The power of Jesus shall make you succeed and prosper and excel and move forward in the name of Jesus. I pray that before you know it, your sicknesses are gone in the name of Jesus. I say it again, by the authority I have in Christ Jesus, I say it again that before you know it, before you notice it, your sicknesses are gone in the name of Jesus. Before you trace it, before you check for it, they are gone in the name of Jesus. And not just your sicknesses, your captivities, your problems, your troubles, your afflictions, your shame, your poverty. Right now, as I'm speaking, they are gone. In the name of Jesus, they are gone. They are gone forever. In the name of Jesus. I decree that the hand of God touch the water with you right now. I decree that the hand of God turn this water into the blood of Jesus to do operations in your body system and in your soul and in your spirit. Let the hand of God use this water and walk through this water to heal and deliver and save and restore and help you in Jesus' name. The life of God shall enter into the depths of you through this water in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' unfailing name, I have prayed. Amen. Amen.